Can I just share one parting thought with you? A parting shot, as it were. Something perhaps for you to resonate in your mind as you travel home today, or as you go on to serve the Lord. How many of you here are staying to serve during the third period? It's a good percentage, and then we're going to have a lot more coming in as time goes on today. A lot of comings and goings today. But something to resonate in your heart while you're driving home. And it's this. It's actually from your verse that you had this week. I was chuckling to myself, said, I'm going to read that verse to them one more time. Brother Tim said he was going to read it to you one more time. Well, this is the P.S. This is the P.S. But there's only two words. Two words in that verse I want to leave with you as you journey home. And it's this. Two very short words that perhaps no one even commented on. Now, perhaps they did. And I think it's been implicit in much of what you have heard. But I want to just point out two tiny words, because sometimes the little words carry the greatest weight. And they are the words, you are. Isn't that how the verse starts? But you are. I don't know, did anybody talk on that, Brother Tim?
It's on the front of our devotional.
You are. Well, there you go. So I'm glad. Well, I didn't see your devotional, so I'm innocent on that account. You are. And I want you to consider as you go home today what the world offers versus what God promises. You see, the world makes an awful lot of offers. I happened to be reading recently about this flower. I'm not big into flowers. I mean, they smell nice. My son likes them. He likes to pick, you know, whatever it may be, dandelions or whatever, and give them to mommy, bring her a little bouquet. And then I read about this flower called a corpse flower. Anyone ever heard of the corpse flower? It is reportedly one of the largest single flowers on earth, if not the largest, and it doesn't even bloom every year. In fact, it only blooms every 4 or 5 years. And places that have these flowers, when they're going to bloom, it's like this big festival that people come to see and watch, because it's evidently, society knows exactly where I'm going with this, it's supposed to be very spectacular to see. It's huge. However, the reason it's referred to as the corpse flower is it gives off the scent very powerfully of rotting flesh. Now, I have never had the opportunity to smell rotting flesh. Evidently, Sister Heidi has. Well, I'm glad she didn't talk about that at breakfast this morning. But you know why it does that? You know why they, at least as far as the natural, the scientific explanation of this, is it does that because it needs bugs, flies, beetles to help to pollinate it. Now, if you had biology in high school or middle school, you understand that whole system of pollination and how that helps the flowers to reproduce. And this flower needs to be pollinated in order to reproduce. And so it attracts very specific kind of bugs, beetles, and my son and my favorite, flies, as the other, because of that powerful, powerful scent. And that scent attracts them because they think that there's some nectar or food for them. But lo and behold, when they come and they go about their business and the pollinization takes place and all, when they start to explore this flower, they find that there is nothing there for them. It's all attraction. It's all attraction. Nothing offered. The flower attracts them basically by saying, now, what are you going to do for me? But I am going to do nothing for you in return. And those of us who have been on the way long enough have come to realize, if your eyes are open, the eyes of your understanding have been opened, that's exactly how this world operates. Yes. It's how the devil operates. It's how he operated in the garden. What did he say to Adam and Eve? You will be like God, understanding good and discerning good from evil. And if you really read that entire story, you realize some people say the devil just flat out lied to them. Well, you know what he really did? And this is where the world can get us. It wasn't an all-out lie. Because if you read the reaction and you read what happened, God says they have become like one of us, able to discern good and evil. You know what he did? You know what the serpent did? He spoke to them in half-truths. An element of truth, just enough to attract them, but when they got to pay dirt, as it were, they found out it wasn't what they wanted. It didn't offer and didn't produce what they had hoped once they gave into it. There are so many illustrations and stories I could tell you of people who had reached the top, who had reached the top, who had reached everything that we would think the world has to offer to bring meaning, satisfaction, purpose, significance into our lives. Fellows like, I'm dating myself, but one of the youngest winners of Wimbledon in history, his name was Boris Becker. If you're a tennis fan at all, you've probably heard that name. Do you know? He was a multiple Wimbledon winner. He was wealthy. He had everything you could possibly desire. And in his own words, he was on the verge of suicide. Because he had achieved everything this world had for him. And it didn't matter. It didn't satisfy. There's an author who wrote a book a few years ago, became very famous. It became a major motion picture called The Eagle Has Landed. His name was Jack Higgins, a very widely read author. And somebody was interviewing him one time and said, "Is there something that you wish you'd have known earlier?" You know, we say that as aging athletes, those of us who used to be cool and are no longer cool. Now, I know you're not in that group yet, Brother Tim, but I am, okay? I am. And, you know, I sometimes say, boy, I wish I would have known, I knew then what I know now, you know, all that stuff. And they asked him that question. Is there anything you wish you would have known earlier? And do you know what he said? His answer is shocking. He said, "I wish I would have known that when you get to the top, there's nothing there." There's nothing there. And of course, what was he talking about? Not on pressing on the upward way. He was talking about all that this world offers, all that it promises. And I'm telling you, your friends, and maybe even some of you, are running after those things. I know, because I've been there. I've been there. And I've been pretty close to the top. And I can't say I've been at the top, but I've been pretty close. I've been on the summit. And let me tell you, it's true. It's true. There's nothing there. It's all an illusion. It's all a facade. It's like walking down a Hollywood movie set. It's big. It's glorious. And when you peek around the corner, there's nothing. Just a few 2x4s holding everything up from falling down. That's what the world offers. Empty promises. But in your verse, you see the bedrock of this whole thing, where the Lord, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter says, "But you are." Do you see the difference? Satan said, "You shall be." There was a promise. There was a hope. It was like stringing you along, you know, like holding a carrot out in front of the nose of a horse, you know, where they keep trying to follow it. Some of you old timers who might remember the Little Rascals who built their own little car. And they powered it by a donkey. And when it was time to go, instead of pressing the gas pedal, they lowered a carrot down in front of that donkey. And that donkey just started. And off they went. Do you remember that, Sister Marie? Remember those old Little Rascals? Remember them doing that, those wheels? They were riding. That's what the world offers. You shall be. Just keep just a little further. How much more? Just a little more. How much? Just a little bit further, just over the horizon. Or maybe, to quote Dorothy, just over the rainbow. There's something there for you. But the Lord doesn't say just you shall be. But I love what he says in this verse. You are. See, to those who are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are a new creature. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a witness declaring his praises to this in this dark generation. You are. Now, when you go home, I think I can safely say this, and this may be heretical to say here at Pilgrim Camp when we talk about the life of victory, but I could pretty much, if the Apostle John is right, every single one of you is going to fall at some point in time. Now, I trust by God's grace that it will not be a fall that takes you away from God. But you're going to slip. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to commit a sin. Maybe you'll fall perhaps a little bit back into that besetting sin that God has dealt with you this weekend. But when it happens, because the Bible says, if we tell ourselves that we don't, that's the Bible, not me. If we tell ourselves we don't sin, we lie. We lie. We're fooling ourselves. When it happens, don't quit. Don't say, oh, why did I go to camp? Look at that. I went, I heard all this great stuff. I got highly motivated. I even got the devotional, and like Brother Tim's, mine is all marked up and folded, and I got it all in my head, and I prayed that it's in my heart. Well, here's what the Lord says to you. Yeah. Yes, you did. You failed. You sinned. But that's not who you are. Confess your sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord would say to us, but that's not who you are. You have a new heart. You have been changed. You've been born again. You're in Christ. You're a new creation. I still chose you. I didn't give up on you. I'm not throwing you overboard. I'm not saying, huh, yeah, sure, I brought you up to Pilgrim Camp to change you. Look at you. Forget it. Done. I'm finished with you. He could say that, couldn't he? But he doesn't. You know why? Because he chose you. Heard from the first. He chose you. And I got news for you. He doesn't kick people off his team. He chose you. You belong to him. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are the ones who are now to go and declare his praises in this crooked and perverse and dark generation. You are. That's you. That's you. So get used to it. Get used to it. That's who you are. Pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God will enable you. And this is a process. This is a process. This doesn't happen just like that, like we heard. That does, like you said, Brother Tim, this doesn't happen because you paid your money and came to Pilgrim Camp for a couple of days. Had a few bonfires, ate a few s'mores, and zappo, you're a super saint. No, it's a process. It's a process. But that new heart is in you if you are in Christ. This is who you are. Believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will empower you each day to live up to a little bit more of who you are. See, this is not an ideal. I was talking to someone recently, and that's what they said. They said, I know how I'm supposed to live as a Christian, and I'm not doing it. I said, well, first of all, let's look at that. You've set up an ideal of what the perfect Christian is supposed to be. How you're supposed to live, how you're supposed to talk, how you're supposed to dress, the kind of music that you should be exposed to. That's your ideal. Let's change that. Let's change that for a minute and make it not an ideal, but a reality. Not this is what I want to be. This is who I am. Look at how many of those promises in the Bible for us are in the present tense. You are. You are. You have. Go on, study them. Study them. Present tense. Now. Not some ideal off into the future. Something that maybe one day, when you get, you know, like Sister Marie, you know, the godly saint who has achieved all of the promises of God. And I say that winking at her because she would admit to you too, as would all of those who've been on the way a long time. They're not finished. They're not finished, but we are changed. We have a new heart, a new spirit, a new mind, a new identity in Christ. This is who you are. Now, a lot of kids. Sister Marie, come on.
I want to say one sentence.
I would love for you to say more than one sentence.
And it's a scripture. And this is life eternal. That they may know me, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Yes.
Period.
Not that's going to be eternal life. This is life eternal. This is eternal life. A lot of kids,
knowing him.
Exactly. They come to a point in their lives when maybe you're not sure exactly who you are. Maybe you're, you know, not sure of the path. We heard talked about this last night a little bit in our service. Should I go this way? Should I go that way? Or maybe you don't think you have any options. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. I had a little boy one time in my class. He was acting up a little bit, and I called him out into the hallway. I said, "Man, what's going on? You all right?" He goes, "I don't know. I'm just not myself lately." I said, "Oh, that's kind of interesting. Who are you? If you're not yourself, who are you?" Well, I got news for you. Anytime you question maybe who you are, where am I headed, what's going on, remember this verse that you heard here at Pilgrim Camp, Youth Retreat 2015. Go back to it and say, here is who I am. This is who I am. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special person. Let's just bring it down to the individual. His own special one. Person, and my job is to proclaim the praises of him who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, we know that we're not finished. Until that day, we see him face to face when we see him as he is, and we are just like him. But you are a child of God, and never forget it, and let that reality, by the power of the Holy Spirit, just grow within you. You see, Christianity is not something that works from the outside in. It works from the inside out. And part of it is understanding who you are. This is who you are. And the Lord brought you to this retreat to either remind you or to establish that fact, perhaps in some of your hearts, for the very first time. Don't lose it. Because I'm going to tell you, that's one of the first things the devil is going to go after, maybe even before you walk off these grounds. When it happens, and when you come under attack, or when it is challenged, remember that I told you. Remember that we told you, and go back to that verse and stand on it. It's not a promise, it's a reality. Not you shall be, you are. Let's pray in closing, shall we? And then we'll maybe just sing one verse of a song. Father, we thank you for this weekend. We thank you for everyone who has been upon these grounds. I pray, Lord Jesus, for every heart here that you will settle this issue once and for all. Lord, not what we shall be. We know we shall be something too. But Lord, we are. We are sons and daughters of God. You have called us. You have taught us such marvelous truths over this weekend. And these are not just nice ideas, but they are real. And they are a present reality in all those who are in Christ Jesus. We pray that this will just be solidified in our hearts, that the devil will not be able to steal it. And while he may challenge it, by your grace, may we rest upon this fact, because it has been spoken by God, the one who does not change. Yesterday, today, nor forever. This is the truth, and this is our reality. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Can we just sing one verse? Sister Marie actually sort of alluded to it. In closing, page, let me make sure I have the right page here. I have the number in my head. 123. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. This is eternal life. More abundantly. Let's sing the first verse, and that's it. We'll sing the first verse in closing. Let's stand, shall we? 123, first verse, all together.
Are you trusting Jesus all along the way? Does he grow more precious to your heart each day? Are you his disciple? Trust his word and see. He will give the Spirit more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. And more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life and more abundantly.
God bless you. I'm going to turn this over now to Brother Tim for the picture taking. Go and live the abundant life. It's yours.